Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Behold how good and how pleasant it is.
Amen.
For brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How good and how pleasant.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Behold.
Amen.
Lord, we want to see this reality in all the churches.
Amen.
We want to behold how good and how pleasant it is.
Amen.
In all the churches.
Yes.
The brethren are dwelling together in one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is something to behold.
Amen.
Lord, have such a visible oneness in all the churches.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Lord, cause us to arrive at this wonderful oneness.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Bring all your churches into this reality.
Amen.
For brethren to dwell together in oneness.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's like the precious oil.
Amen.
On the head.
Right.
Running down on the beard.
Amen. Amen.
The Hallelujah. Beard of
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you for the precious oil.
Amen.
On the head, running down on Aaron's beard.
Amen.
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 Oh, Lord Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, right. Pray that the oil would even run down to the edge of the garments.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, the oneness is like the precious oil.
Yes.
Amen.
The precious anointing oil.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank Amen. You, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let this precious ointment run down.
Right.
And anoint every member of the body.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Amen. Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
It is like the dew of Hermon,
Amen.
Descending upon the mountains of Zion.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord commanded the blessing.
Amen.
Forevermore.
Run. Hallelujah, Lord.
The dew of Hermon.
Amen.
Descending upon the mountains of Zion.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah, Amen. Lord.
Lord, we pray for all your churches.
Amen.
They would be fresh like the dew.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, there would be so much oil flowing.
Yeah.
Lord, let all your churches be full of life.
Right.
Let there be life forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Oh, Lord, command your blessing.
Amen.
Life forevermore.
Amen.
Blessing.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Pray that all the churches will be full of life.
Amen.
Amen.
So living.
Amen.
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 Forevermore.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
You will abundantly bless her provision.
Amen.
You will satisfy the poor with bread.
Amen.
You will clothe the priests with salvation.
Amen.
Enter saints.
Shout aloud for joy. Hallelujah.
Lord, do all this in Zion.
Amen.
You will make the horn of David to rise.
Amen.
You will prepare a lamp
for
your anointing.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Your enemies, you were clothed with shame.
Amen.
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 Upon yourself, your crown shall flourish.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I think we better start. We'll make it short, quick, living to the point. And give all the saints a chance to fellowship and to share whatever the Lord has touched you. And I hope that you all are exercised. So don't be afraid. And don't be long winding. Share something living, short. To the point. Praise the Lord. Right,
Amen.
Timo? We haven't heard from you these days. No, I'm just joking. This is a wonderful song of ascent, and I hope the Lord would give you a wonderful vision. This is not doctrine. I don't think we are so wise and so capable to see this in the Bible. No. I think in all these years the Lord has given us much grace to bring us through a lot of sufferings, a lot of trials, challenges, in order to make us realize all these wonderful truths in the Bible. It's not just by studying the Bible you will know this. No, no. We, in ourselves, none of us are so capable to see this. So the Lord cannot reveal this to us unless he brought us through, and unless our heart is for his building. What's the use of telling us all this if we are not for Zion, and we are just for building up a little group or mega churches or doing our own business here? Now, there's no point for the Lord to really show us all these mysteries and all this wonderful truth in the Bible. Right? If we are not for Zion, then why should the Lord show you all this? What's the use? Just to apply it in Vatican, or apply it in the Lutheran group, or any denomination? Definitely not. No. The Lord will show this to you if your heart is for Zion.
Amen.
Because this is really for Zion. And finally, you can see the consummation, the goal is really Zion and the wonderful oneness. So if we are not for that, then we don't need to ascend. We don't need the Psalms if we are not for God's wonderful purpose. And so through all these, the Lord showed us where we were before, what our condition was, a terrible condition. With such a condition in Psalm 120, how can you build up anything? We'll be wild, we'll be fighting, we'll be backbiting, we'll be criticizing one another, envy and strife, and my goodness, the lying lips, the deceitful tongue, will be playing politics. And we won't have any peace, we'll be fighting, getting at each other's hair, will be like children in the earth. No peace. And then we'll be so proud, we'll be thinking, well, I can do this. Why should I listen to you? Why should I follow you? And then we'll be looking down on one another, and we'll be fulfilling all those 7 points that the Lord hates. Sowing discord. It's like something to you about George, and George something about you, and then you'll be fighting each other. How about that? Do you like that? No. You will say, I hate that. Not only I don't like that, I hate that. You like to see the saints fighting each other?
I hate it.
I hate it. You should say this. I hate it. Right? Oh, we hate what the Lord hates. A proud look and lying lips. Oh, Lord Jesus. How terrible it is. Right? You need to see all these wonderful verses in the Bible.
Amen.
Don't do that. Don't do that. And don't look down upon the saints. Don't look down on anyone. Because we're all the same. None of us are any better than any other people. You know, I think after what Peter has gone through, he wouldn't dare look down on anybody. Right? So, the Lord has a lot to do within us, and who can change us? Nobody could really change us. We could help each other. Doesn't mean that we don't need fellowship anymore. It doesn't mean that I don't need Timo, and Timo doesn't need me. We love one another. We support one another. We pray for one another. But you have to realize that only God can do such a change in any one of us. You know, I've been living together with my wife for I don't know how many years now. We were married since 1971. Well, that is a long time. Woo! It's a long time. You know, I realize I cannot change her and she cannot change me. Who can change us? It is the Lord within me. It doesn't mean that the Lord will not use my wife to change me. But it is not my wife that changed me, it is the Lord. The Lord used my wife to expose a lot of things in me, but she cannot change me. Right? Because I'm a proud man. A proud man, or why should I listen to my wife? Hey, husband, you're the head. Hey. Terrible head. We husbands always forget that above us is also a head. So, even if she exposed me, she cannot change me. But it is the Lord, His life within me. But it's good to have a wife that exposes. Then the Lord can do something within you. Then the Lord can change you. The Lord can speak to you. And the anointing will supply you with a life. Because this life is a life that went to the cross. This is a life that is not for himself. It is an obedient life. It is a perfect life. It is a lowly life. It is a humble, meek, gentle life. It is a very submissive life. It is a life full of mercy. A holy, righteous life. It's a wonderful life that the Lord has given us. And that life is able to change you. So praise the Lord. We do have such a wonderful way. In Christ, who is our life. And this is what Paul is telling us in Philippians, for me to live is Christ. you and I learn to live Christ. And the environment and the saints around us and so many situations and trials will help you to change. Right? Yes, inwardly we have the life, but outwardly we need a situation. And the situations are very necessary. That's why we have Romans 8, verse 29. For all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who were called according to His promise. But if you don't have this life, all this environment will press you down and will cause you to break down and become bitter and angry and hopeless. At the end, you will just give up. I'm sorry. But with this wonderful life, plus the all things that's happening surrounding you, man, you'll be very thankful. Because when you look back, you can say, Lord, thank you for this, thank you for that. Because it perfected you, it helped you to grow. It provides an opportunity for you to turn to the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, save me, change me. And you find out, if it were not for the Lord, who is on my side, I would have been swallowed up. You will appreciate the Lord and the life that is in you. Thank you. You know, one day when the Lord comes back and you look back in your whole entire history, you will be thankful how everything was prepared by the love of the Father. At the time you're going through trials, you will be, oh, why did it happen to me? Later on, you will say, thank God it happened to me. At the time, you won't say that. But after that, you will say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because without those environment and the enemy working, the enemy still, without that, how are you going to change? And how are you going to cry out if everything went so smoothly and no distress? You're going to cry out to the Lord? Everything went so smoothly, your job, your family, wow, everything went so smoothly. You think you need the Lord? You would think, well, look, I made it. You would think, well, look at me. No problem. Oh, what's wrong with you? How come you have so much problem? I don't have any problem. So who is more blessed? The one with a lot of problems or without any problem? Which do you prefer? Hard to choose, eh? Hard to choose. Look at the Lord Jesus when He was on this earth. Without all those problems happening in the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, when I was young reading the Bible, I said, what is it all about? Why do you have to tell me all this? You have nothing else to write in the Bible so that we can have a thick book? You add all these things here to tell me stories. Well, now I realize, my goodness, look at this religion with all of these ordinances and thinking they are right and pushing aside the Lord of life. And it's very good for the Lord Jesus. Without all this, who is going to nail Jesus to the cross? Well, you tell me. You mean good guys are going to nail Jesus on the cross? So what do you need? Who do you need? Some bad guys. No bad guys, no stories. You need some bad guys. Accomplish God's purpose. You need a Judas. You think Peter is going to nail Jesus to the cross and betray the Lord? Are you going to betray the Lord? No, better not. So who's going to betray the Lord? So, Judas. Whether you like it or not, you need a Judas. The Lord needs Judas. And in the scriptures, he was already prepared. You know, so today, there's a problem here and there. 40 years ago, I would have dealt with the problem right away and kick him out. But today, if there's a problem, go to the Lord. Ready to accept the problem. Are you ready to accept the problem? We want to get rid of problem. We are ready to accept the problem. So, all things work together for the good, so that the Lord can really save us and change us and mold us and transform us into His glorious image, ready as a material, as a living stone for the building up of Zion. The stone needs to be cut, needs to be prepared, needs to be polished. Otherwise, you cannot just take a stone and try to build. You cannot. You need to really work on the stone and polish it, cut it, make it in size, the right size, that it just fits properly, perfectly. This is wonderful. So the Lord is using all kinds of sharp chisel and sewing and hammering. Oh my, you know. Without those tools, how are you going to be ready? So praise the Lord. And this is where we can see the songs of ascend and why it is necessary. Why it is necessary. Why is suffering necessary? To make us perfect. Even the Lord has to be made perfect through sufferings. Otherwise, there is no way to build up Zion with the living stones. There's no way to make us holy. There's no way to perfect us. We want to be one. But, you know, you cannot be one overnight. And this is, we didn't read those verses in oneness. I think it's good for us to read it. Let us read in Ephesians chapter 4. How about that? And just read. The word arrive at is very necessary. Right? Verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints, and this is for the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. I don't like the word pastors there. You can change it to shepherds. Because today, the pastors, you know who the pastors are. But this word are shepherds, meaning elders. Because in the New Testament, the elders are the shepherds, shepherding the flock. And teachers, for the equipping of the saints, to equip us unto the work of the ministry, right, unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all arrive. The word come is not quite correct here. It should be until we all arrive. To arrive means from your home to here, there is a starting point and there is the end point. And you need to arrive. Don't dream about beam me up. You just stand there, next time you are there. I don't call that arriving, I don't know what that is, but to arrive means it's a journey. It's a journey. That's why, let me tell you, for many years already we've been talking about oneness. But in all those 40 years, 50 years, I saw fighting no oneness. It's a good view. It's the right teaching. Right. We are singing, we are one, we are really one. You should say, we are becoming one. Because you have to arrive. So, when I saw all those happenings, I asked the Lord, what happened? We talk about the ground of oneness. Everybody jumped out of the ground of oneness. It didn't make us one. I need to ask, what's wrong with that? And some people throw it away. Oh, I'm not going to throw away because it's in the Bible. But I like to know, what's wrong? How come we are not one? We saw the ground of oneness. We have been singing Psalm 133, I don't know for how many years now, right? How many years? Since you were born, right? Yeah, since you know how to sing, right? But where is that oneness? I have to ask the Lord. For me, it's not just, oh, they are not one. Oh, this is not one. At the end, how come nobody is one? Although we talk about oneness. At the end, they even want to cut me off and cut my head off. And what they want to do? And lot of things. Oh, my Lord, what happened to our wonderful doctrine? I realize the teaching is right. But you have to arrive at that. That is just the goal there. You need to arrive. And if you don't see the Song of Ascents, you will not understand that there are many, many steps you have to go up until you come to Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant that psalm is, not a psalm 125. No. It's not even Psalm 126. It's not Psalm 127. In Psalm 127, you just come to realize that it must be the Lord who is building, because you and I cannot do it. If you don't realize that, oh, you'd be so proud. I am the one who built up the church. Man, you have to listen to me. Who started the church here? Oh, my God. Who started the church? Tell me, who started the church? Yes, the Lord started the church. Not anyone, not anybody. Right. So, you must realize that Psalm 133, you have to go through a process till we all arrive at the oneness of faith. If we are not there, we are not there. You cannot force it. How can you force it? You cannot force it. You can share the wonderful view. You can share this vision. But you have to be one now. If you're not one with me, there's a door. Get lost. No, not like that. Till we all arrive. Meanwhile, we try our best to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Right? Endeavor. You know, in chapter 4 here, chapter 4, before we arrive, in verse 3, it says, endeavoring. You have to do it with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, because we are not perfected yet. What are we going to do? Right, Naomi, you're going to throw out your children because they are disobedient? Throw them into the trash can. Screaming at night. Throw them into the trash can, throw them out of the house. Then we can all sleep. How about that? You going to do that? Are you sure? Then how are you going to sleep?
You don't.
You have to stay awake.
Long
Good thing you're not 3 years old. If you were a 3 year old mother, you're gonna throw her out. No. So meanwhile, we endeavor with lowliness, with meekness. Well, we should have some of those kind of saints in the church life who are lowly and meek and not to throw you out right away. Well, what are we going to do? To throw them out? No. Until we all arrive. How wonderful. Until we all arrive, we pray for the saints. We nourish them. We help the young ones to grow. Be patient. Be patient. On one hand, nourish them. We need to nourish them. To love them. So endeavoring to keep the oneness. Why do you have to endeavor? Because we are not there yet. Right. Until, verse 13, till we all arrive at the final oneness of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, because if you want to arrive, you have to know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, in reality, you cannot arrive. There's no doctrine, no. To know the Son of Man, you arrive at to a full-grown, perfect means mature man. Mature. Praise the Lord. When you're mature, you don't throw the baby out. You don't throw the baby out. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then we are no longer children. This is the way. Finally, we can not just be one, but we become one. We are one. This is really wonderful. Then oneness for us is not we have to. If you still have to, that means you're not one. But at that point, we are just one. We're just one. No need of endeavoring anymore. My right hand is not trying its best not to hit the left hand. And if you hit the left hand, hey, right hand, don't do it. Don't do it next time, okay? Promise me, eh? Promise me. Next time when the left hand did something wrong. The left hand and right hand endeavoring to keep the oneness. You have to do that? No. It's very natural. Very natural. If we arrive at a stature of the fullness of Christ, the oneness, it's just there. No more trying to keep. No. Now, in Psalm 133, they're dwelling together in oneness. Behold, how good and how blessed. How good and how blessed. It's not by force anymore. There, you can see there is such a harmony. This should be the proper church life. But it takes maturity. It takes growth. It takes changes. That is why we have the song of ascent. Until we all arrive. And now you can really see so organically the body builds itself up in love. No one is there watching all the time whether you're doing right or wrong. Nobody's dictating that's wrong. Hey, don't do it again. That's wrong. And this, and that, and you, and this, and that. And if we still have somebody doing that, well, that means you still need it. Some people like to do that. I don't like to do that. I'm not a watchdog. You want to be a watchdog? I don't want to be a watchdog. Lisa, you want to be a watchdog? No. You know, a watchdog is just to watch out in case the thief comes in. It's not to watch the kids in the house. I bite the kids. Anyway, we need to realize that Psalm 133 is the final result. It's wonderful. Behold, Kana, something you can see. Something you can see. Something that is now there, the finished product. How good and how pleasant. How beautiful. How wonderful. You will just be praising the Lord, eh? Lord, you're wonderful. Right? When brethren are now dwelling in oneness, dwelling together in oneness, this is wonderful. And let's go to John 17 again. You know, John 17 is a wonderful prayer of the Lord. You will notice that the Lord did not teach them to be one. The Lord did not teach them to be one. Hey, after I leave, you, Peter, James, and John, don't you fight with each other. Mo, don't fight with Chan. And Chan, you better treat my nephew nicely. Remember, he's my nephew, Brian. So, all three of you, please do not fight one another. Promise?
We'll see. We'll try.
You try! Good try. That is going to be what happened. And there it goes. They're going to fight with one another. The Lord didn't do that. Why didn't the Lord do that? Huh?
It doesn't work.
Because it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, what are you going to do? Forget it. Just go and let them fight. What? It's as simple as that. No need of big theological discussion. You pray. That's why in this wonderful chapter the Lord prayed. What did he pray for? He prayed to the Father to preserve them, to keep them in oneness, that they all may be one. And this is a wonderful oneness, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. It is a oneness, just like a oneness between the Son and the Father. Wow, what kind of a oneness is that? Have you ever seen the Lord arguing with the Father? No. No. The Father tells the Son to do something, the Son says, no. I don't want it. Just like Rebecca. No. Yeah. This morning, we had two vests for the two children. One for Rebecca, the smaller kid. It's got an orangey one, and the other one is blue. And the blue is larger, so it fits Elizabeth better. So Elizabeth put it on. And the little one says, no, I want that blue. And the other says, no, orange too small for me. No. And the other one says, no, I want the blue. And the other one says, no, it's too small. That one I cannot. Wow, my goodness. And the grandpa says, what am I going to do? I was helpless. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything. So difficult. You know, when our Lord was on this earth, even when he was 12, he was about his Father's business. He was always there, listening to the Father, doing exactly what the Father wants him to do. even at the very end, going to the cross. No, not my will, but your will be done. He had practiced all the way to follow the Father. He's not practicing a doctrine. We practice a dead doctrine, and we are very adamant about it. Even if it means killing other people, it doesn't matter. As long as you listen to my doctrine, I will keep my doctrine. Father God, so the Lord prayed. Let's read what he prayed. Amen. Father God, and this prayer is for the glory of the Father. You know, nothing glorifies the Father more than our oneness in life. Because oneness is not just oneness. Oneness is the maturity in this wonderful life of God that can glorify the Father. Now I'm no longer in the world, verse 11, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And what kind of a oneness is that? It's not a humanly fabricated oneness. It is the oneness as the oneness of the triune God, as the Father and the Son are one. This is a special oneness, a heavenly oneness, a oneness which no man can fabricate. You can try and keep oneness until it explodes. Then that's it. Then you have to start all over again and try to put the pieces together. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, in you. Those whom you have given me, I have kept. Right? None of them is lost except Judas, the son of perdition. But now I come to you, but these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves, etc. Right. Then he continued to pray in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So in the church, we need those who are more mature to sanctify themselves, to be a pattern to the saints, to be an example to the saints. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. We are these ones. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, or that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Right? The world will believe. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect, or be perfected in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful prayer. Have you ever prayed this for the church? Great. If you praise this prayer all the time for the church, that would be wonderful. But what kind of oneness have you prayed for? That we will not fight or quarrel? Is that all? Are you happy? No conflict? Hi, Jose. Hi, Achim. And Achim says, hi, John. And that's it. We are one. Huh? Is that the kind of oneness? You may be happy with that oneness. It's better than us fighting. You know, the brothers, when they look at me, they won't even look at me. Well, I don't care. I don't mind. I still say hi. But, you know, I met a brother in Washington, D.C. at the airplane, in the airport, he was in Boston many years ago, and I went to Boston to help them because of the great trouble there. So, in fact, he was the one who called me in Washington, D.C., the airport there. I heard somebody calling, John So, like this, exactly like this. John So. I turned around, and I saw this beloved brother. I said, oh, praise the Lord, brother so-and-so. His name is not so-and-so. My name is So. I just don't want to mention his name here. I said, oh, praise the Lord, brother so-and-so. You know what happened? He moved back two steps or three. My hand was there reaching out. He moved back. I got leprous hands, according to their concept. You might as well call me John Leproso. He moved back. He was so afraid. Oh, my goodness. I said, wow. You know, what happened to us? So the doctrine of oneness doesn't work. What can I say? Next time I see him again, I will still reach out. Hey, brother so-and-so. One day before the Lord, when the Lord comes back and I see him, I will still say, hi, brother so-and-so. I'd like to see him in that day move back. We're like children. We're like children. No, we don't need that kind of a doctrine of oneness. It didn't work. So the Lord prayed. You know, the Lord prayed that we will be perfected in oneness. So oneness is a sign of perfection, maturity. Either you're 2, 5, 7, you're not mature. So they're still fighting there. So the Lord prayed. The Lord did not teach them. Because the Lord knew, even if he taught them, they're not going to keep it. So Psalm 133, you come here. After our pride has been dealt with, after we are mature in life through suffering, after we mature to the extent we become like a weaned child, depending fully on the Lord. The weaned child here does not mean that we become babies again. No, not like children tossed to and fro, but that we become humble, emptying ourselves, not thinking high thoughts. not looking into the profound things which is above our head. We think we know. It is terrible to think we know. Now, don't think like that. And that's why Paul says, if anyone thinks he knew, he knows nothing yet. So if you think you know nothing. And if you really know, you would think you don't know. You ask Einstein, wow, you know so much. Einstein will tell you, this much I know. Because you realize, my, the more I know, the more I don't know. But we just know a little bit and we thought we know everything. Oh, my goodness. 中国人说一知半解, just know a little bit and you thought you know everything. All the children thought they know everything. Wow, they really know everything. Don't think you know. There are many, many things here. And in the mystery of God, we don't know. So, only after we were brought to such a state, praise the Lord, we can arrive at this oneness, this marvelous, wonderful oneness. And this oneness is likened unto the anointing, because then we're all attached to the anointed one. If you're not attached to him, how are you going to get the anointing oil? Because the anointing oil flows down from the head. That's why Paul says we grow up in all things into what? Into the head. Because if you're not attached to the head, you're independent, you cannot get the anointing. Where are you going to get the anointing? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us it was God who attached us to the anointed one and therefore anointed us. So if I'm not attached, I can pray, anoint me, O God, but I am not attached to the anointed one. How is God going to anoint you, you tell me? He's going to send an extra anointing, extra drop somewhere to anoint you. I chop my hand off and my hand is lying there and cry out to the Lord, Lord, anoint me. The Lord will say, how am I going to anoint you? You come back and be attached to the bodies, and that's okay. The oneness is just like this anointing flowing from the head to the body. If we are all cut into pieces and divided, no wonder we don't get the anointing. And the real anointing is just the Lord with all of this wonderful, wonderful quality of his humanity. So if you read here, in the Old Testament, it's just like one can of oil here, right? One can of pure olive oil. This is the pure olive oil, right? This is the Spirit of God, pure olive oil. It's just like the pure Holy Spirit. Through the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, you know, you use the word incarnation, but if Philippians chapter 2 says the lowliness of the Lord, the incarnation, because he came down from his glory. What condescension, bringing us redemption, becoming flesh and blood, becoming even a slave. He lowered himself. All of this lowering quality, let me just put down here, lowering quality, how about that? Quality, pure, lowering. And then the fine humanity is added, The fine humanity of the Lord Jesus is added into this anointing oil, this perfect, wonderful
humanity, plus all the virtues, plus all the virtues are added to it. Virtues added to it. And then all of his sufferings is added into sufferings. The Lord went through all kinds of sufferings and not reacting. And plus this death on the cross, this wonderful death here on the cross here. His death on the cross. And then after death, his resurrection is added in it. Resurrection is added into this pure olive oil. And then definitely also his ascension. As the sea. S-I-O-N. Ascension is added into it. Whoa, so many things added into this pure olive oil. And this pure olive oil, after all this concoction in here, bah, 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 and put it into the mixer. What happened? It becomes the holy anointing oil. Holy anointing oil. The precious anointing. So when this anointing oil flow down to you, what do you get?
Holy anointing oil.
You get
all of that. All of that.
And of course, this is a pure olive oil, which is God. God is in there. Don't forget.
And this is what we need. The more anointing, the more oneness. You see, the wonderful oneness. What is the oneness? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. What makes us one? It is this wonderful anointing. It is like the anointing oil flowing from the head to the beard, the extension. Right. If you have a beard, a long beard, just the extension of your head. Because you might think you are the neck, you're not the neck. Some people say the husband is the head, but I'm the neck carrying the head. It's not in the Bible. I don't know where you got that philosophy. But you really see the anointing oil flowing down to the whole body. The more anointing, the more oneness. The more oneness, the more anointing. It's just a wonderful cycle. Wonderful. Sweet, wonderful cycle. So, you have to realize what is this anointing oils, and you get everything that you need. And then it says it's just like the dew from the Hermon. Hermon here signifies the heavens is the highest point in Israel. And Jerusalem, Mount Zion, is near the south, close to the south. How can the dew from Hermon come down to the south? It's a wonderful mystery. That means all the grace. Right. Remember, His grace is every morning what? New and fresh. That's why it's the dew, fresh as the morning dew. The grace of the Lord is yet morgen neu. Every morning, the grace of our Lord is dew. It's like a dew so fresh, refreshing you, making you so fresh and living. Right? So here you have the morning dew that comes down
from the third heavens down to where? To Babylon? Down to Babylon, down to Egypt, down to Mount Sinai, down to where?
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion. So if you want the fresh dew, where do you go? You say, you're too narrow. Too narrow. The dew of God is everywhere. You can get it everywhere you are, but my Bible says Mount Zion. Sorry. You can believe whatever you like. But the Word of God says it is in Mount Zion. Maybe you can get some old dew. Okay, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Are there any such thing as old dew? So, I don't know what you get somewhere. Maybe the Lord's mercy, okay? The Lord's mercy, because He's merciful to everybody, right? But this fresh dew is Mount Zion. Mount Zion. So, you want a fresh dew? You know where to go. You know where to go. Right. And then there in Mount Zion is a special blessing. The blessing of life forevermore. Meaning to say, not just a little bit of life, but the abundant life. The Lord did say, I come to give life. And life is for everybody who is born again. The Lord gives life. But the problem with the foolish virgin is they didn't have enough oil. Not that they don't have oil altogether. Right? Not that they didn't have life. All the Christians have a little life. But the Lord says, I want to give it more abundantly. Now, this more abundantly, where are you going to get it? The Vatican? I don't think so. You're not going to get it there. You're not going to get it there in all the divisions. You're not going to get it there. You're going to get it in Mount Zion. There, the Lord will command. Amen. That means definitely there will be life abundant. If you go to a place and the life is just a trickle there, I would put a question mark whether it is Zion. You may have teachings, yeah, but I don't care about teaching. You can get teaching in the internet everywhere. You can get books. There are so many books. You can get all kinds of books. A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z. You can get all kinds of books there. But believe me, you're not going to get life. The Lord would command life forevermore. Abundant life is in Zion. Praise the Lord. Sorry, I want to be short, but it ended up long. This is the characteristic of Zion, the oneness, yes, the anointing in its fullness. And yes, the fresh dew from Hermon. Fresh. Every morning fresh. And you have the abundance of life. The blessing is commanded. You don't even have to ask for it. Lord bless us. No. The Lord says, I already commanded the blessing long before you ask for it. It's commanded. The blessing is commanded. Praise God.
Amen.
This is the true condition of this wonderful oneness. In the songs of ascent. Shall we just quickly finish the last psalm and then you can have a break and then come is all your turn to share. Let's finish the last psalm. It's just a couple of verses, right? Okay? Or are you hungry for dessert or something?
Just the children's.
Oh, children. Okay. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who by night stand in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Well, by night. By night. There is still night. So that means although we have arrived, but the Lord has not come yet, as long as the Lord has not come yet, there is a night time. So you have not just the morning watch. Everybody loves morning watch, but nobody likes the night watch. You love the night watch?
No.
If Apple hires you and you have the morning shift, the day shift and the night shift, which shift do you prefer? Afternoon. Wow. My, look at that. He wants all the benefit of the long sleep and the benefit of going to bed early. Afternoon shift. Okay. But what about in the house of the Lord? There's a day shift and there's a night shift. There are priests who serve in the morning, but there are also priests who serve at night. Which shift, Muchang, are you serving or do you prefer?
Night shift.
Wow, my goodness. He has arrived there. Night shift. Nobody likes a night shift. But in the house of the Lord, there has to be some who are willing to take the night shift. Yeah, there are priests who serve during the day, but there are also priests who serve during the night to watch, make sure the fire is burning, make sure the lamp will not go out. Make sure fresh oil is added into the lamp. Make sure everything is correct and right in the house of God. If you're an elder, you have no choice. You have to take the night shift. So, who wants to be an elder? You have no choice. You know, elder just means you're older. And the more you're older, you bear more responsibility. Look, you know, Naomi and then Stefan with the children, they have to take night shift. Well, sometimes you take turns to taking care of the night shift, right? Emery, you take night shift too? Sometimes I have to. Somebody has to take the night shift. Are you willing to take the night shift? But praise the Lord. At this time, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Don't take the night shift and says, why should it be me? You must say, bless the Lord, hallelujah. If you can do that in the night shift, oh, you're really mature. Instead of complaining, praise the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in a sanctuary and bless the Lord. Don't complain. Why do I have to take the night shift? Everybody else is resting. How come I don't get to rest? I'm sure Sarah will complain. Why me? I don't know if your mom will complain. But you know, we love Zion. We will not complain. We will say, praise the Lord. Who's going to take the night shift? I hope that all of us will raise up our hands. Praise the Lord. Yes, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Pray, hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for your wonderful house. The Lord, again, who made heavens and the earth. You see, this is the wonderful Lord. who is really our helper, and the one who not only created the old creation, the one who builds up Zion, the one who chose Zion, the one who helps us all the way. Bless you now from heaven. From where?
Zion.
From Zion.
Amen.
Eventually Zion becomes the source of our blessing because the Lord dwells there now. The Lord doesn't have to bless you from heaven anymore. But now He is dwelling in Zion, so our blessing now all comes from Zion. So where does your blessing come from?
Zion.
Praise the Lord. That's it. Short and to the point. Hallelujah.